Next week, many of us will gather with friends and family for Thanksgiving. So awkward, at least if politics comes up. And these days, we have some newly divisive issues. Vaccines, COVID testing, masks, and mandates. Well, there is good news, and that is we have Washington Post advice columnist Carolyn Hacks here to help us navigate the holiday season. Carolyn, great to have you.
Well, thanks for having me.
So we asked our listeners to send in some questions and thoughts. So let me put three of those to you. Brian from San Diego, California. Unfortunately, he did not share his last name. Brian wrote, "Much of my family is traveling from Seattle to visit my family in San Diego. Most of my family is vaccinated, except for one family member. I communicated to my family that everyone is welcome as long as they are vaccinated. The unvaccinated family member may still come, leaving me uneasy about spending any time with my vaccinated family members. What is the best way to approach this?" So, Carolyn, I mean, should Brian in San Diego actively reach out to this unvaccinated person before the holidays and say, "I don't know if you come"?
Yeah, yes, you have to have that conversation. He put out the requirement and somebody's choosing to ignore it, apparently, and that's not respectful.
Yeah, and how to have that conversation?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Most conversations of substance are tricky. And I think this is one conversation that we've been having particularly badly. But at the same time, I think it actually deserves the same approach that we give all of our tricky conversations, which is just to have it. Just have it. Say what you're saying. Say it kindly. Say it calmly and say it with the confidence that you have every right to express your boundaries, your preferences. And if somebody doesn't like those, that is not necessarily your fault or your responsibility.
Yeah. Okay. In this case, I could see Brian doing what you describe, right? Calling this person and saying, you know, these were the rules for the holidays and you're not vaccinated. And then that person might say, "I'm still coming." Then what?
Well, then you have a decision to make. You can turn the person away at the door, which is really brutal. I mean, this is family, but so is showing up when you've been told that's not welcome. You can cancel the whole gathering. You can cancel and reconstitute, which means you cancel the one that has been planned and you go to some sort of a plan B. It can't be in bad faith where you just replan it, but without telling that person. But you can have a different one where you say, "Okay, I put out my requirements and somebody's choosing not to go along. So I'm canceling the whole thing and we'll figure out something else." And that something else may be just a smaller gathering.
A question from Karen Cather from Scottsdale, Arizona. She says, "I have a beloved family member who is an anti-vaxxer. And I am a vaccine study participant who got the vaccine. How do I tell family why I'm not going?"
Again, these are forms of the same question, really. You just say it. You just say, "I have drawn this line, and I'm going to stay on my side of this line. And I'm not doing it to offend anybody. This is what I need to do. Thank you in advance for understanding." And you just again, I would say one of the common questions that I get from people is, "How do I blank without causing blank?" And my answer is always, well, you don't get the pair. You don't get to decide both the action and the consequences. You can only decide the action.
Yeah. Okay. Question from Tess Aylshire from Alexandria, Virginia. That's near me. She wrote in to share some of her own advice for Thanksgiving. She told us she never talks about politics at the table. And this year, she says, "We didn't invite anyone who isn't vaccinated." So, Carolyn, I'm sure the uninvited people noticed this.
I guess. Again, this is the actions and consequences pair, where you can decide who comes to your dinner. That is entirely up to you. That's your business. It's your dinner. You set the guest list. And if you've decided that your guest list is only going to be vaccinated people, then you invite all the people you want there who are vaccinated. If somebody doesn't like what you're doing, that person can come to you and say, "Hey, I go to your Thanksgiving every year. Where's my invitation?" And then you can have the choice of saying, "We're having a smaller gathering this year," or, "I'm only inviting vaccinated people." I mean, it's I would prefer the latter. I think you tell the truth. You say what your reasons are, mm-hmm. but you aren't beholden to a consequence. You are beholden to the action. So you make the decision, nobody unvaccinated, and you invite your people and you stick to it.
During the holiday, there will be conversations that come up, and we know that there is misinformation out there, political misinformation, vaccine misinformation. I guess, what are good choices that we can have when we start to hear this? To walk away, to say, wait a second, that's not true? Or what options do we have?
I think our options are, given that we're sort of looking in a funhouse mirror, there aren't a lot of great options. I do think one completely valid option is to say, this is a politics-free, or this is a COVID conversation-free table. If you're the host, because you can do that. You can be kind of an event bully.
Huh.
And the reason for doing that is the understanding that your chances of changing a mind in that moment are very low. But your chances of causing anguish or hostility or further divisiveness are actually very high. So I think you can you can play the odds there and say, we will all be better for just leaving this alone. Even though that's going to bother people a lot, they're going to feel like, but I have a message and I have something to say and I want to change other people's minds. And, you know, that's a valid impulse, but it's rarely effective. I just can't think of how many minds have actually been changed at any given moment in one of these conversations.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carolyn, if I can shift gears on you a little bit, the pandemic has, of course, been a challenging time for many of us. What do you think is the best way to plan for conversations with family members and friends who may have experienced a lot of stress, may have experienced loss? How do we prepare for that?
It's counterintuitive, I think. You prepare yourself to listen, because I think people who are dealing with a lot of stress and a lot of loss don't necessarily want to be told something. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be told how to feel. They don't want to be given all of these suggestions that they've probably thought of themselves. I think the best thing you can do for somebody is just listen. And there may be, in that listening, a moment where you notice something that you can offer. And that will always be better than the thing you had prepared to say. So I would just say, just be prepared to be very patient and also give people some grace.
Yeah. You know, I have a friend who lost a spouse in this past year, and on social media, this person actually kind of called out friends who haven't checked in to say, this is the time when I actually need my people the most. And some of you have checked in and some of you have not. I'm actually one of those people who has not, not having the right thing to say. And so I guess the question is it better over the holidays to still approach these family members, these friends, to say, I actually don't have the words for you, but I'm still just wanting to talk to you. I mean, is that one way to just be there, to listen, as you say, even if we don't have the right answer?
That's actually a beautiful way to approach it. And I think that you have to be careful not to make it their problem that you can't think of what to say. But I think the way you put it was really beautiful. You know, I would just like to be in touch, and I'm sorry that I haven't been.
All right. Carolyn, any other general advice for not only surviving, but thriving this holiday season before we let you go?
I would just say it's a feast. I love Thanksgiving as the simplest possible of the holidays. And I don't know that any holiday can be simple, but I think if there is one, this might be it. Find something to be grateful for and hang on to that.
Well, thankful for you, Carolyn Hex, Washington Post advice columnist. Thanks so much for the time.
All right. Thank you.